that I call the greatest commission is Jesus being sent to the earth so that he can send us.
神最大的使命就是耶稣可以来到这个世界上，让我们可以一起走出去。
He says in John 20 verse 21, As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
他在约翰福音二十章二十一节说，父差遣我来，我差遣你们。
So we are all sent ones.
所以我们都是被差遣之人。
And being sent requires obedience.
要被差遣出去是需要顺服的。
And so, in talking about missions, we have to encompass these instructions and find out how should we be faithful to the Lord's commands.
在谈论宣教的时候，我们要学习如何的顺服神给我们这样两项的使命。
So both the pastors at CCCB and at 4C,have to motivate their congregation to be obedient to the mission.
所以八成华人基督教会和 4C 教会的牧师都要同时来激励会众们能够对宣教有负担。
But how is the best way to motivate people to action?
那么怎么样才是最好的激励大家的方式呢？
There are two primary motives for which we do all things.
我们做任何事情都有大概两个动机。
The first one is love, and the other one is fear.
第一个是出于爱，第二个是出于怕。
So if you think about it, everything that you do, all actions that we perform are based on these two motives.
你仔细想一想，你所面临的所有的选择当中，你的动机都是出于这两个原因。
The reason why you eat is because you love yourself.
你吃饭是因为你爱自己。
And the reason why some of you don't smoke, I hope most of you don't smoke, or all of you don't smoke, is because you love yourself.
你不吸烟，我希望大部分你们都不要吸烟，也是因为你爱自己。
Not only do you love yourself, but...You are also afraid of dying.
你不但爱自己，你还怕死。
So when a criminal or a robber puts a gun to our head, we do what he says.
当一个罪犯把枪指着你的头颅的时候，你就会做他所要求你做的。
Because we are afraid of dying.
因为你怕死。
So that action of cooperating with the criminal is because of the fear of death.
你与罪犯合作的原因是因为你对于死亡的恐惧。
So what motive should we use in church and in the gospel to motivate everybody to do missions?
那么我们在教会的另一面呢，我们要怎么样来激励大家来走出去做宣教的事工？
Rather than through fear, it has to be out of love.
我们所要做的不能基于怕。而要出于爱。
In order to emphasize that, the motive of love, I would like to read for you three verses in Matthew chapter 13.
要解释这个问题，我想我要给你们读一段经文，在马太福音第十三章。
Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like...treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field.
马太福音第十三章第四十四节，天国好像宝贝藏在地里，人遇见了就把它藏起来，欢欢喜喜地变卖了一切所有的，买这块地。
First of all, what is the kingdom of heaven?
首先，天国是什么呢？
Kingdom.Is where the king reigns.
天国就是王所控制的地方。
And heaven is where the king resides.
而天堂就是王所居住的地方。
So the kingdom of heaven is where the king resides and reigns.
那么天国自然是王所居住并掌控的地方。
So Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this, and then he tells the parable of the man who found treasure.
那么耶稣就用这个找到宝藏的人的比喻来解释天国。
So while this man was digging in the field that he doesn't own, he's probably a hired hand, he strikes a metallic object with his shovel.
当这个人在他所不拥有的地上耕耘的时候，那么他用他自己的工具来不断的劳作。
And he discovers that there is buried treasure, so he opens it and finds, yes, indeed, there is treasure in this chest.
他确实在地下发现了宝藏，他把它打开，他确实看到了那里所藏之物。
So being the honorable man that he is, goes and tells the owner of the field, hey, I found treasure, because I would like a finder's fee.
作为一个诚实的人，他就去跟这个地主讲，我在这里发现了宝藏，我让你看一看。
No, he doesn't do that.
他没那么做。
He buries it back, and he says, I know there's treasure in the land, so I'm going to buy the whole land so that I can keep the treasure.
他把它放回去，买起来，然后他把所有这块地买下来，他拥有。
See, his mother didn't raise no dummy.
他的妈妈没有养一个傻瓜。
He's not going to share that information with anybody.
他不会将这个信息分享给别人。
Because he knows the worth of the treasure, he sells everything that he owns so that he can buy the land.
因为他了解这个宝藏的价值，所以他倾其所有来拥有这块土地。
He's not telling anybody that it's there.
他不会与任何人分享这个秘密。
And he can't wait to buy the land so that he can own the treasure.
他也根本等不及去买下这块土地，所以他可以拥有这块宝藏。
Now, is it dishonest for him not to tell anybody when he found the treasure?
那么他不跟别人分享是不是就不够诚实呢？
Who would tell the owner of the land that you found treasure in his land?
你们中间谁会去告诉那地主你找到了宝藏呢？
Good, because none of us are then lying.
看上去大家都诚实没有撒谎。
Because I wouldn't tell anybody.
因为我也不想跟任何人说。
So this is human nature, and Jesus is appealing to human nature. He's not saying this is dishonest or honest. This is what we would naturally do.
这个就是人性。那么耶稣在这里谈的就是人性。他没有评论说、论断说这是。
So let's find out some facts about this parable.
那我们就来进一步来看一看这一段比喻。
The treasure was found by grace and not by merit.
这个宝藏是因着恩典发现的，而不是因为你的能力。
He didn't deserve it, he didn't earn it, and he didn't work for it.
他不配，他也没有努力去发掘，他就得到了。
He happened to find it by chance.
他偶然发现的。
But in God's world, in creation, there is no such thing as an accident.
但在上帝的创造当中是没有偶然的。
God in His grace gave it to him.
上帝以他的恩典的方式给予了他。
Comparatively speaking, though, it was far more than he could have ever accumulated.
相对来说他所得到的远比他自己能够积累的多得多。
So he reasoned that anything that he owned can be sold so that he can buy the land.
他在那里打算盘说他可以把它卖掉，然后他可以买更多的土地。
Because he said anything that I own is not worth the treasure. The treasure is worth far more than anything that I own.
他自己心里很明白他自己的所有远远不及他所发现的这块宝藏。
If that was the gospel, if that was a relationship with Jesus, if Jesus is our treasure, do you feel like that? That nothing that you own will compare to him, and that you would rather have him than anything else?
如果你所知道的福音就是耶稣基督，那你是否会愿意放弃所有的一切而拥有他？
That's how the grace of God works.
这是神的恩典的工作。
The second fact about this parable is that he knew that what he was giving up was far less than what he was getting.
第二个层面就是他心里很明白得很，他所弃绝的那些东西根本一文不值。
How do we know from the parable that the treasure was worth more than all of his possessions?
我们怎么能够在这一段比喻当中知道他所找到的宝藏比他的所有要贵重？
Jesus uses this word joy.
耶稣选用了一个词叫喜乐。
He says, in his joy, he sold all he had.
耶稣说，他欢欢喜喜地去变卖了一切所有的。
So he takes his 80-inch 4K TV and he says, I want to sell this, and somebody gives him $300.
所以他就把他自己的80英寸的4000块钱的电脑卖掉了。
It's worth $1,200 and he sells it for $300.
本来也差不多只值100块，他卖了300块。
With a smile on his face.
脸上带着喜乐。
So he gave away a $1,200 TV for $300 because he knows that he's going to get better treasure.
他放弃了他的电视，是因为他知道他会得到更好的收获。
His cars are sold. His custom house is sold.
他的车也卖了。豪宅也卖了。
His lucrative business is sold. His fishing boat is sold.
他利润丰厚的生意也卖了，他的游艇也卖了。
If his family didn't know about the treasure and they saw him selling everything cheaply, they would have called him crazy.
他的家人要是不知道他已经暗中得到了宝贝，而看他这样子贱卖自己的所有，一定会觉得他疯了。
They would have stopped him.
他们可能要了他的命。
In our relationship with the Lord and in our understanding of God and the kingdom, are people thinking we're crazy about our possessions?
在我们与神的关系当中，在我们生命当中，有没有人也对我们跟我们的主的关系产生这样的怀疑？
Why are they holding it so lightly? Why are they not upset about losing it?
为什么这些人看上去对这些身外之物置之度外，对这些身外之物显示漠然？
Why are they giving it up with a smile?
为什么他们宁愿欢欢喜喜地丢弃？
Do they say that about us?
这个世界上的人看我们不也如此吗？
The third aspect about this parable is that all that he had was enough to buy the field.
第三个方面是，居然他所有的一切是足够于去买这块地的。
Jesus didn't say that the field cost less than what he got for all of his possessions.
耶稣并没有说这块地比他的全部的价值要贱。
He didn't say that it cost more than all of his possessions.
当然耶稣也没有说比他的所有要更值。
He said it cost exactly what he sold for all of those things.
他说他所卖掉的和他所得到的相当。
But even if he was short, because the field cost more than what he got from all of his possessions, he would have gone into debt to borrow money in order to buy the field.
试想，如果他所拥有的比他所得到的要低，那么他就要会得到一份债务。
Because once he got the treasure, he can take the value of it and then pay off his debt.
因为显然他当一旦他得到了这个宝藏，他可以用他所获的去偿还他的债务。
So Jesus is highlighting some aspects of the kingdom and of the gospel in the first parable, but he gives us another example.
所以耶稣在这里就是在谈天国的价值，并且解释第一个比喻的意义。
Verses 45 to 46 says, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
接下去的第45节说，天国又好像买卖人寻找好珠子，遇见一颗重价的珠子，就去变卖他一切所有的，买了这颗珠子。
So here is this businessman,The merchant sets his heart on finding a valuable pearl, you know, the dark black ones, which are more rare than the white ones. He wanted one, not a small one, big one.
所以这里有一个商人，他呢就是要去购买这个珠子，就是那种黑色的珍珠。你知道那些黑珍珠比白珍珠更加价值连城。
So if he's looking for something of high value, it means that it's in high demand.
所以他心里很清楚，他知道一个东西物有所值，一直是因为他被更多的被追求。
All things have value based on demand.
所有的事物的价值都是源于这个需求。
If nobody wants it, it's trash.
如果没人要，根本就垃圾。
Stocks are like that.
股票如此。
Gold and silver are like that.
金银如此。
Bitcoins, cars, homes, food is like that.
比特币、车、房子、食物都不过如此。
See, we can have a car out there and nobody would take it because the doors are missing, the trunk is missing, the engine is missing.
我们如果有部车在外面，门也没有，引擎也没有。
Because nobody wants it, it's trash.
那就没人要，根本垃圾一堆。
If salvation was wanted by nobody, it would be trash.
如果救恩没有人想要，那么它一文不值。
Here, this man set his heart on a precious pearl and he started searching for it.
这里，这个人，他定义要找一颗珍贵的珍珠，所以他就会去上下求索。
Jesus didn't tell us how long he looked for it. He told us he was looking for it and he found it.
耶稣没有说他花了多久去寻找，但是说他找并找到了。
This is the summary of the gospel. You look for a relationship with the Lord, you will find him.
这就是福音的真谛。你如果你去寻找神，你就会找到他。
And like the treasure guy, he sold everything that he had in order to own this precious pearl.
就像这个买卖人，他变卖了所有，来得到他所要的这个珍珠。
So let's look at some facts about this parable. First, unlike the treasure man, the merchant, this businessman, was looking for, pursuing the pearl.
那我们来看一下这个比喻。那跟前面的寻找宝藏的人不一样，这个商人他在他的寻求当中是有意的，有目标的。
See, the treasure man, he accidentally found the treasure.
前面那个人无意间发现了宝藏。
But this man who wanted the pearl went and looking for the pearl in stores, in docks, in jewelry shops, asking about it.
后面这个人是上下求索，到不同的地方，不同的商铺去寻找他所需要的。
If you want toKnow a relationship with the Lord. If you want to know what the gospel is, you can't not pursue it. If you want it, you have to pursue it. You have to look for it.
如果你需要 寻找神，你就是要去不断地去寻找他。
The second fact about the pursuit is he went and looked for it and he found it.
第二个方面是他寻找居然就找到了。
Here is the promise that God makes in Jeremiah 29 verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
在耶利米书第29章13节当中说，你寻找就必寻见。
He promises that anybody who looks for him, I will be found by you.
他保证了寻找他的人就必寻见。
And the third fact that is true about this is the same as the fact about the treasure, and that is the price he paid for the pearl was equal to all that he owned.
第三个方面是，这个人和前面那个人一样，他所付上的寻找的代价是这个全部的物有所值的代价。
So when the man sold all that he had, he took the sale of all that he had and bought the pearl. He didn't need more and he didn't have less.
和前面那个人一样，他变卖所有的价值，他所拥有的，去得到这颗珍珠。他没有需要更多，他也没有变得更少。
Here is the reality of our relationship with the Lord.
这就是我们与神的关系的本质。
We give him all that we have.
我们给他我们的所有。
We can't give him more than what we have.
我们给不出比我们更多的东西。
And we can't give him less than what we have.
我们也不能够。
We can't give him more than what we have because we don't have it.
如果我们没有，我们根本也给不了。
But if we keep some of the things that we have from him, that will be inappropriate.
如果我们隐藏一些不给他，那也是不对的。
It's dishonoring to God to say, I will give you 99.99% of what I have.
时常人们想，我们会给你，给神 99.9% 的东西。
Because he wants all of it.
他是要你的全部。
But by grace, he doesn't demand more than what we have.
但是因着恩典，他也不会向你要你所没有的那部分。
He doesn't say, okay, that's all that you have. Okay, thank you very much. Now give me some more.
他没有说，把你所有的都给我，非常感谢你，能再来一点。
And if he wants our hearts, that's all we can give him.
他要的是我们的心，我们也就这颗心给他。
And he says, that's what I want.
他说这就是我想要的。
So if you've given the Lord 99.99999% and you kept that little small percentage, then God says, no, that does not qualify. You need to give me everything.
如果你给了神 99.99% 的东西，就你剩下那么一丁点，神说不。
Now what we're going to do is we're going to take these two parables and we're going to apply it to missions.
我们下面我们要把这两个比喻结合来看，我们把它应用到宣教的事工上。
Because I want you to be motivated by love and not fear.
我希望你是出于爱，而不是因着怕。
Here is a definition of missions that I found sort of works.
我这里有一个对于宣教的定义，我觉得可以很表达。
It says a Christian mission involves sending individuals and groups of believers called missionaries to parts of the world where others have not heard about the Lord.
他说，一个基督徒的宣教旅程就是要将个人或者团体的信徒们被称作为宣教士的派到世界各地，那里人们还没有听到上帝的福音。
And another a shorter definition is a Christian mission is an organization organized effort to spread Christianity to new converts.
另一种简短的说法是，基督教的宣教是一个有组织的工作，去向未信的人传扬基督的福音。
So when we use the word missions, things are common. One is that you're sent, and the other is that you're looking for new converts or people who are converted from never having heard of Jesus.
所以我们看到这个词的词源，一个意思就是说是要派你出去，另外一方面是要去寻找那些未信之人。
In order to begin, the word mission comes from the Latin word missio, which is a verb to send.
这个词的拉丁词源是 missio, 就是差遣。
And when people use mission and missions, they use it interchangeably.
Mission 和 mission 这两个词是相应可以互换的。
First,Let me describe for you what missions involves.
那么让我来向你描述一下差遣意味着什么。
Well, it began with Jesus' command to go.
首先它始于耶稣的大使命。
It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. This is Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 through 20.
我们在马太福音第二十八章第二十节当中看到
But even before go, what we have to understand is mission always involves authority, because remember, the word itself means to be sent, which means somebody is sending us.
所以我们在去之前我们就要理解差遣总是要意味着带有权柄，这里是耶稣基督将他的权柄给我们，差遣我们。
Although we consider the greatest commandment, therefore go and make disciples, the authority verse is not very often read, but it begins with authority.
经常我们知道这节经文是你们要去使万民做我的门徒，可是我们经常却忘记了这句话所带的权柄。
Because just before the word therefore go, or words therefore go says this, all authority, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
因为在十九节，所以你们要去使万民做我的门徒之前的第十八节，耶稣对他们说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给了我。
So what does authority mean?
权柄意味着什么呢?
When we try to define authority, here is a dictionary definition. It says, power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior.
那么权柄到底是什么呢? 那字典上会告诉你说是影响力和带有
Or another definition says power to enforce laws, enact obedience, exact obedience, command, determine, or judge.
另外一个定义是施行进行顺服和实行律法的判断的能力。
But these definitions are too inclusive.
那这些都是字典上的解释。
Simply, authority is the prerogative or the endowment to command.
权柄的真实的意思就是。
So in other words, the person in authority has the right to command.
就是有权柄的人就是能够控制的人。
And he has been given that authority.
他已经被赋予了这个权柄。
So here it is, even in Matthew, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth, what has been given to me? In other words, he has been empowered with authority.
所以马太福音才会说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给了我。
If he hasn't been given it, he couldn't command it.
因为已经被赋予了，所以他可以有权利使用。
So let's say we go to a foreign land where Jesus was not even known, and we say, repent and believe in Jesus.
你想，试想，我们去一个地方，那里大家还不认识耶稣，我们叫人家去啊，悔改来接受耶稣。
First thing he says to me is, who are you?
人家第一个问题就是说你谁嘛？
Why are you telling me this?
你跟我说扯什么？
The reason, God, who has all authority, has told me to tell you.
没别的理由，理由就是神将权柄给我去告诉你。
So he has the endowment to command, but what is this power?
所以他，我们是借着神的权柄，借着神的能力。
Just because you have authority doesn't mean you have power.
你有这个权力，并不意味着你带着这样的权威。
All police officers have the authority to pull you over if you speed.
所有的警察都有权力啊，把你叫停。
They turn on the light, follow you until you pull over.
人家一开开灯，跟着你，你就得。
But what if the drunk who was pulled over comes out and starts coming after the police officer?
如果醉驾者出来对警察实行攻击呢？
The police officer says, stop, get back in your car.
警察会对这个酒驾者说，停下来，回去你的车里头。
Now he has the authority to tell him that, but the person who is not listening...Now gets to see the power of the police officer.
当然他是有权柄去说这个下这个命令的那个，但是那个酒驾的人现在才是他真正经历一个权柄被使用的过程。
So the police officer told him to get back into the car, but he wasn't going back. So now the police officer uses power to...compel him to go back to his car.
那么警察用他的权利跟他讲，让他回车里去，他不回去。那现在你就可以看到警察会使用合法的武力。
So power and authority are two aspects of the command of God for us.
所以权柄和这个他所有的这个力量是上帝的使命的两面。
So Jesus commands us to go because God the Father commanded him to come.
耶稣基督授权我们去，是因为天父授权他来。
So Jesus was sent from heaven to us, and we are sent from here to there.Wherever Jesus is not known or wherever Jesus is not obeyed.
所以耶稣被父神天降，我们也被耶稣派遣。
So what we have is the gospel or mission always begins with authority.
所以福音与差传的使命总是要和神的权柄在一起。
First, it begins with authority. Second, second aspect of it is travel.
那首先是我们带了权柄，第二方面我们就要踏上征途。
Nobody does missions sitting.
没有人坐在家里头传福音。
And begging people to come and hear.
就期待着别人来他屋里。
If Jesus did that, he would still be in heaven, not having been crucified.
如果耶稣也选择那么做，那他今天还在天上，就没有他上十字架。
We have to go because we are sent.
我们要去是因为我们被差遣。
It's all part of the mission.
这是神大使命的一部分。
Everywhere you go, everywhere God sends you, you are commanded to make disciples, declare the gospel, and explain God to them.
无论你去哪里，你都是被神所差遣，你要到那里去向他们来解释神的福音的。
Montgomery County is about 12th in the world of the number of ethnic diversity that live there.
蒙哥马利县是大概第十二所最多元化的这个县。
Apparently, Hawaii is the number one state where diversity is the highest.
显然，这个夏威夷县呢是全美国所有地区当中最多元化的县。
So most of the world is in Montgomery County.
所以你可以说，这个世界已经来到了蒙哥马利县的门口。
Represented, that is.
它的代表性的人物。
So if you don't want to go that far for missions, just go to Montgomery County.
如果你没有办法跋山涉水，你就可以直接去蒙哥马利县。
You don't need plane tickets, you don't need hotels, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to be obedient to this command to go.
你不需要花旅馆费，你不需要差旅费，你就可以。
I say start there, if you want to be obedient to the Lord to go, and then branch out in other countries of the world.
我说你就可以先从那里开始，然后呢，再差遣到世界各地。
So mission begins with authority, and then it goes into travel, and then thirdly, it goes into instructions.
你可以看到，差船首先是要带着权柄，然后才能上路。
The gospel
在后面就是要进行教导。
The gospel begins with, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. But here is the instruction part. It says, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you.
那个大使命是说，所以你们要去使万民做我的门徒，奉圣父、圣子、圣灵的名给他们施洗。接下来就是教导的部分，你要凡我所吩咐你们的，都教训他们遵守。
So where was the gospel?
福音在哪里呢？
In the greatest commission, it says, therefore go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Right up to baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the gospel is already declared because the person is now converted and then he is demonstrating his conversion by being baptized.
在这个大使命当中啊，去奉父子灵的名为他们施洗，到那里为止福音就已经传给了他们，他们已经愿意接受愿意施洗。
Jesus did not tell us to go and make converts.
耶稣没有让我们去。
Jesus did not tell us to go and make converts. He told us to make disciples.
耶稣没有让我们只是去转变一个人，他要我们去培训门徒。
We are not finished because everybody is a Christian.
哦，我们不是使得每一个人都转换成了基督徒，我们的使命就结束了。
That would be ridiculous. That would be like saying, "Hey, I gave birth to the child. I'm done."
那是。可能的，这就好像你说，哦，我孩子已经生出来了，我事儿完了。
Is that it? You make a convert and then you're gone?
那就说你使一个人做了信仰的转变就完了吗？
So he says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then it says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
所以他说了，你们要去，要使他们做门徒，要为他们施洗，还要不断地教训他们。
So after conversion, it's baptism, and then after baptism is instruction.
所以在接受耶稣之后是受洗，受洗之后还要受教。
So let's use that birth illustration again. The baby is born, you clean them up, and then you nurse them, you feed them, you grow them, you give them instructions until he becomes an adult and is now able to have his own child.
我们就以生命出生为例，你孩子生出来，你要洗净他们，喂养他们，教导他们，以至于他们成人可以有自己的独立。
So how many of you are still children, still not married, and still don't have babies, spiritually speaking?
所以你们当中还有多少人还是婴孩，还在成长过程中，还没有培养自己灵命上的下一代？
Nobody here believes that being a teenager is for life.
在座肯定不会相信说，我就做一个青少年，这就是生命的全部。
Are you going to be proud of the fact that you are a teenager all of your life?
你会愿意一生都做一个少年人吗？
No, you have to grow up to be an adult, and then after that you got to get married, and then you have to have your own kids.
那你是要不断的成长，成人，结婚，有你自己的孩子。
Jesus says, baptize them, yes. Clean them up, yes. But give them instruction, yes. This is how you live. This is how you eat. This is how you use a chopstick. This is how you put on clothes. This is how you tie your shoes. This is how you tie a tie. This is how you pursue a woman. This is how you get married. And this is how you raise your own children.
耶稣说，你不但要生他们，还要养他们，要教他们怎么样系鞋带、系领带、追女仔，一系列。
That was long. I hope he has a good memory. Was it good?
生命很长，我希望他记忆力还没衰退，他还行吧。
I have to be sensitive to that.
你们说。
Notice what Jesus doesn't say.
你注意听耶稣到底在说什么。
He doesn't say teach them.
他没有到此结束。
Why? Because teaching is just information.
他也没有说只是教，因为教只是给一些信息。But
if you teach them to obey, that's instruction.
他说的是你教他们遵守，这个不只是教，这是在教导。Anybody
can teach.
谁都能教。But
it takes patience to instruct.
但是你真要教导他们，是需要耐心的。Did
you ever teach your children or little kids how to tie a shoe?
你有没有教过你的孩子系鞋带？
You say, okay, John, take the two laces, pull it all out, wrap one and loop the other and pull it out, then create a loop on the one side, wrap it with the other one, and then pull it so that both have loops, and you're done.
你有没有就是简单对你家孩子说，那你把两个鞋带拉长，把其中一个转个圈，然后再把另外一个转个圈绕一下，然后把它两边拉起来系紧。
So how many times do you think you have to tell him that in order for him to know how to tie his shoes?
你觉得你说几遍他就会吗？
Probably until he's 15.
他要到15岁吧。
No, Jesus says, teach him to obey.
耶稣说的是，要教导他们来遵守。So
if you teach your children, obey Jesus. I want you to be good. I want you to be good. How many times are you going to be telling him to be good?
如果你也只是仅仅跟孩子说，你要遵守啊，be good, 你要乖一点啊，你看看你要说多少遍。
And then when can you expect him to be good?
你到什么时候能期望他真的变乖啊？
How long will it take?
多少年？
Just telling him doesn't work.
你只是告诉他没用的。
The best way to instruct is to live life with them.
真正好的教导是与他们共同。
That's why they live in your house for about 18 years before they leave.
所以他要在你家里住十八年呢，才出门，才出去。
But here is the thing. If we don't teach our disciples to obey Jesus, we haven't taught them at all.
同样道理，如果我们没有把我们传福音的对象变成门徒，我们实际上根本没教导他。
We have failed to obey the command to make disciples if our disciples are not obeying Jesus.
如果我们所培养的门徒没有能够按照遵守神的旨意，实际上等于我们没有能实行神的旨意。
And we have not instructed our children to be obedient to Jesus if they're not being obedient. We have not taught them.
如果我们没有教导我们的孩子去顺服神，那我们实际上也没有能够教导他们，真正教导他们。
So we cannot have our kids as our problems, not solve the problem, and then hand them to God and say, he's your problem now.
所以我们不能够把孩子和他们所带来的问题就扔给神，说这是你的问题。
So what God is saying is, no, make sure he's not a problem to you, so that when he comes to me, he's not my problem. He is my asset.
所以神是跟你说，你确保你要教导他，使他不成为你的问题，这样将来有一天他见了我，他不再是我的问题，而是我的资产。
But let me encourage you about this command.
所以他不断地鼓励你来遵守这个诫命。
Jesus didn't say, and teaching them to obey me in everything.
耶稣并没有说叫你教导他们来顺服你的一切。
That's just like saying you need to obey all of the Bible.
就好像很简单的说，你需要去顺服圣经里所说的一切。
It's true, we need to obey all of the Bible.
当然我们是要顺服圣经里的教导。
But when we teach our disciples, when we teach our children,
但是当我们去教导我们的门徒和我们的孩子的时候，
The thing that is important to teach them is what we are being obedient to in our relationship with the Lord.
我们要教导他们的是他们看见我们在遵行神。
He doesn't hold us responsible for not doing stuff that we don't know and we haven't been taught by the Lord.
神不会要我们对神所没有教导我们、没有教会我们做的事情。
So all the disciples were taught by Jesus, so everything that they learned from Jesus, they should be teaching, not something beyond that.
所有门徒他们教导别人的都是要他们从耶稣那里所接受的。
But as they learn more and more, they will add to their responsibility of teaching more.
当他们接受学习更多的时候，他们的负担会不断的增添，他们会教育更给予更多的教导。
So as we grow as disciples, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we can teach those things to our disciples and our children.
当我们自己作为门徒，当我们自己不断地来认识主的时候，我们可以把我们所得的来继续教导孩子。
And this is the reason why we should be learning all the time. We should be growing all the time.
这就是为什么我们要不断地学习，不断地成长。
You should be able to tell your children, this is what I learned recently, this is what I learned yesterday, and I want to share it with you because this is important.
你应该能够跟你的孩子说，这是我最近学到的功课，这是我昨天学到的功课。你应该能够跟你的孩子来分享这些。
Because Jesus is teaching you more, you have more to teach.
因为主耶稣教导你更多，你就有更多的去教导别人。
And always with the requirement, if you haven't taught for obedience, you haven't taught at all.
要记住，如果你没有教导他们顺服，学会顺服，你就没有教导。
If we can evaluate every Christian by the amount of information that is on the head, and we determine the size of the head by the information that is in there, we would have a lot of big head Christians.
如果我们只是以 用我们头脑中的知识量来衡量我们对神的理解的话，我们会有很多大头基督徒的。
And the only way that the head shrinks is if the information goes from the head and drains to the hands and the feet and the body.
唯一能使这些大头基督徒能够不断的消化，不断的吸收主耶稣所给我们的，是我们生命当中不断的去认识他。
I have spiritual glasses and I can see some fat heads.
我有一些属灵的望远镜，我可以看到我们有很多大头的、知识丰富的基督徒。
We need to exercise spiritually.
我们需要一些属灵的操练。
Now, so far, was this motivation to move you into missions based on love?
所以归结到底，我们能够使你走出去传福音的根基是爱。
I wasn't trying to beat you into missions.I was trying to motivate you out of love for missions.
不是要吓唬你，赶你出去传福音，而是要以爱来激励你出去传福音。
I'm not done, so here it comes. Is Jesus treasure to you?
再提醒一次，耶稣基督是不是你确实的宝藏。
Whether the treasure comes from a box or is encased in a pearl,
不管这个宝藏是从一个盒子里还是像一个珍珠一样。
If he is not, then we have to find out why.
如果他不是的话，我们自己要先去找到他。
It would be ridiculous to say that my house is more valuable to me than my wife.
如果你觉得你的房子比你老婆更重要的话，那根本荒唐的。
My house or my car or everything that I have is more valuable than my family.
如果你觉得你的家、你的车、你的所有比你的家庭成员更重要的话，
It would be ridiculous to say all that I have is of great and more valuable than my relationship with the Lord.
如果你觉得你的所有比你与神的关系要更值的话，
But Pastor Jay, sometimes I feel that way.
但是很多时候 Jay 牧师，我好像是这样子觉得。
God is not leading me because I put him in the back seat.
神没有办法带领我，因为我坐在后座。
Help me to move him to the front seat where he's driving.
使我把他从后座挪到前面来，可以来驾驶我这部车。
Help me to give up all that I have so that I can have him and help me to get rid of it with joy.
帮助我，让我能够欢欢喜喜的来跟他一起行。
The only way we get from Jesus having very little value to all of me and the most valuable thing in the universe is to understand the depth to which he loves you.
我们唯一的收获，从我们对认识耶稣的一点认识到他成为我们生命的全部，我们的根基是我们知道他爱我们。
So let's say we ask God, God, how much do you love me? You have to ask that question to him.
所以我们想象一下，我们向神问这个问题，主，你到底有多爱我？
In order to better understand that, let's say our kids come to us and they ask us, Mom, Dad, how much do you love me?
就想象一下，你的孩子来到你跟前，问你：“妈妈、爸爸，你到底多爱我？”
What are you going to say?
怎么说？
I love you so much. I love you this much.
我真的很爱你，爱你。
As a matter of fact, my arms are not long enough to show you how much I love you.
我的力所能及之外，我都没办法表现出我怎么爱你。
I need to keep going over here, and I need to keep going over here.
我要不断的挪动。
I don't know how to express the amount of love I have for you.
我不知道怎么样来表达我对你的爱的容量。
If that were the case, the child would be wondering all of his life, I really don't know how much my parents love me.
如果是那样的话，那孩子恐怕这一辈子也在不断的在思考说，到底他们爱多少。
That is not the case with our relationship with the Lord, because when we asked him, how much do you love me, he did the same thing. He said this much, pointing to the cross and saying, if you really want to know how much I love you, meditate on the cross.
那我们跟神的关系也一样，如果我们问他有多爱我们，他会说我就爱你以十字架上我的度量来爱你。
So when Paul says something like this, God commends his love for us in this, while we were still sinning, Christ died for us.
所以保罗才会说，神爱我们的尺度是我们当我们还是罪人的时候，他就爱我们。
We are living in 2022.
我们活在2021年。
At the time of the crucifixion, none of us sinned.
在十字架上的时候。
Because our sins were all future at the time of the crucifixion.
我们所犯的罪都是在十字架之后所犯的罪。
So that illustration doesn't work for us.
所以那个解释呢，对我们来说是不起功效的。
But the people who watched him die, it applies.
但是那些眼睁睁看他上十字架的人。
Because those who were crucifying him were sinning against him. Everybody who was saying he needs to be crucified was sinning against him. Anybody who maligned or spat or called him names and blasphemed him, they were all sinning while Jesus was being crucified for them.
对，那些人都在犯罪，那些人都在向他犯罪。那些把他钉十字架的人，那些在那里围观他钉十字架的人，那些向他吐口水的人，那些人都在那个时刻都是罪人。
Jesus didn't die for them after they straightened out.
耶稣基督不只是为他们而死。
And for us, for all intents and purposes, if we didn't hear the gospel while we were still sinning, and the gospel was shared to us, we too were still sinning when Jesus died for us.
同样道理，我们如果在不认识他的时候，我们也是像他在犯罪。
So if a murderer shot one of our kids, killed one of our family members, or did something horrendous and sinful to one of our family members, would you die for him?
当一个强盗谋杀了我们的家人，掠夺了我们财富，那样的一个强盗，你会为他而死吗？
And would you die for him if he repented and he tried to straighten out his life? He worked really hard to support all of our causes, all of our family members, all of our relatives.To do that in penance, would you die for him?
那如果这个人认罪悔改，为我们为你的事业所付出全部的代价，你还会为他而死吗？
But he has to be punished for killing one of my family members.
但是因为他谋害了我的家人，他是不是应该被受到惩罚？
I don't care what he's willing to do, how much he has repented.I don't care about any of that. The fact is he killed my sister, my brother, my child. No, he has to be gone.
我们时常会想，我不在乎他怎么做，因为他谋害了我的家人，我的孩子，我的姐妹，那他必须要付上代价。
What Jesus was thinking and what he was motivated by is even if they don't even have an inkling to repent, even if all of us didn't even want God, he said, I'm going to demonstrate my love for you by dying for you.
耶稣基督的说法正相反，他说即使你犯所有的罪，即使你无可争议的应该受的惩罚，我还愿意为你而死。
If that is how he loved us, shouldn't we at least love him at least a little percentage of that?
如果他以这样子丰盛的爱来爱我们，难道我们不应该回应他的爱更多一点吗？
My response to him when he revealed himself and his love to me is, God, I want to love you as much as you loved me.
我记得我当时的回应就是，神啊，我爱你如此之多，就像你爱我。
Isn't that appropriate?
是不是这才是我们当承担的恋爱？
So if we are not following God,If we are not being obedient to his commands, if we don't have heart for missions, if we are not seeing the heart of God, what we have to do is meditate on the cross.
如果我们没有顺服神，如果我们没有借着遵循他的使命去将福音传出去，那我们真的是应该回想他在十架上为我们所做的。
Let me share with you one aspect of it that highlighted this for me.
让我再跟大家分享一个例子。
It is said by theologians and people that when Jesus was crucified, God turned around because he could not look on sin.
神学家们有一个理论是，当耶稣基督被钉死十字架的时候，父神掩面不见。
They were saying that the Father turned his back on his Son.
他们说父神背弃了他的孩子。
And I thought that was an amazing understanding.
我觉得这样的讲法非常令我震惊。
But I don't think it's the way it happened.
我不认为这是事件的过程。
I don't think he turned his back on his son.
我不相信他背身而过他自己的儿子。
Why do I think that? Because in God's conversation with Moses,Moses asked God, show me your glory, show me your face.
我不如此认为，因为我知道在摩西与神的对话当中，摩西要求耶和华神彰显给我你的作为。
God's response to him is, nobody can see my face and live, so I'll just show you my backside.
耶和华的回复是没有人可以见我的面而存活，所以我就背身转身而背离。
I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, I'll put my hand over your face, I'll walk by, and then when I pass by, I'll lift my hand so that you can see my backside.
我会把你压在此处，我会从你身旁经过，当我经过了以后，你可以看到我远去的身影。
Did you hear?What he said. He said, nobody can see my face and live.
你听到他跟摩西所说的，没有人可以面神而活。
Why? Because sin is consumed by the glory of God.
为什么？因为罪恶已将神的荣颜完全掩
盖。That means, hey, brothers and sisters, that means when Jesus was being crucified, God the Father, who put his cross and humanity's sins upon his son, he said, I have to keep looking at you until you die because you have all of humanity's sins on you. And if I don't look at you, you won't die. I have to keep looking at you, which means he had to watch his son suffer until he was consumed and dead.
这就是为什么父神将耶稣基督和全人的罪钉在十字架上，还要全部全身心的看到他这些罪被洗涤干净。
If your son was being beaten to death, you won't be able to look at it. You would turn your head.
如果你儿子被人鞭挞致死，你是没有心在那里看的，你会转念。
But in order to make the suffering even more severe, the perpetrators turned your head, made sure your eyes were open to see every lash, every suffering inflicted on your son.
可是那作恶的人就让你眼睛目不转睛地看着你自己的儿子受尽苦难。
That's how much God loved us.
这就是神爱你至深。
And this is the why for us to motivate us to be obedient to Him.
也希望这个可以能够激励我们来顺服他。
I loved you this much, that's why I want you to love others.
我爱你如此之多，我希望你能爱别人。
We should be motivated for missions out of love, just like the Father was motivated for his mission out of love.
我们应该向父神激励他的孩子去爱别人一样，被激励去爱别人。
Let's pray together.
我们来一起低头祷告。
Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much.
天父上帝，我们感谢你。
That even when we don't understand, and even when we are slow to understand and slow to get it, you are patient with us in love.
在我们还那么迟缓地认识你的这一生当中，你对我们的耐心，对我们的爱，与我们同在。
Help us to follow your example, that all that we do will be done in love for your glory and honor. We pray.
帮助我们来跟随你的脚踪，来不断地继续在爱里面的成长。
We praise you, Heavenly Father.
我们赞美你，我感谢你。
We worship you, our Heavenly Father.
我们敬拜你，我们尊崇你。
And we thank you for eternity for loving us like that.
我们为你带来给我们的永恒的盼望献上感恩。
In Jesus' name, amen.
奉主耶稣基督的名。